my coach, Mark Mattson, who is in Happy Valley. He just left New York. He was a couple days in New York City promoting his new book, Main Street Money. And he's heading to Pittsburgh tomorrow night, right? Or is it tonight? Friday night.
Saturday night is live, Pittsburgh. But there's
a broadcast tonight and Friday night. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, there's broadcasts in the Pittsburgh area on the local public broadcasting station. Why do we not have it at Happy Valley yet? Because of the way public broadcasting works. It's in the main markets and it kind of filters out. Is that how it works, Mark?
Yeah, we have 150 showings this week.
Nationally?
And you have some early adapters, so it's a new show. And then it's gaining a lot of speed, so you know we hope to be national pretty soon here.
So we are on the cutting edge in Happy Valley because we're getting it before it's even here. How about that? What do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? Well, listen, I know some of you are expecting to hear Rush, and surprise, 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 we've actually preempted Rush. It's going to be on later, as AJ had mentioned. But this is a very rare opportunity to talk to Mark. And I've known him quite a while. I've never seen Mark take questions before, so this is awesome. In fact, I think we got one, don't we, AJ? Rebalancing question, basically, right, Mark?
That's a great question. And a couple prerequisites before you talk about rebalancing. Number one, it really determines you're not going to be able to rebalance if all of the assets in your portfolios have a high correlation. What that means is they work very step rate in fashion. So I'll give an example. 2008, 2009, when the market crashed, many people thought they had safety because they had bonds in their portfolio. But they had long bonds, and when the bonds crashed, and when the market crashed, the bonds crashed with them. So they didn't really have anything to offset against. So what is the right mix of assets to even start with? You need equities in your portfolio, and you need short-term fixed income that will maintain its value even when the market crashes. So that's very important, starting out with the right mix. Number two is, studies show that it really doesn't matter how often you rebalance, whether it's quarterly, semi-annually, or annually, as long as you do it. But I will also say this, it's almost impossible to do. And here's why. Because when you get your statement and you see one asset category, let's say bonds up 20%, and you see stocks down 20%, and you're looking at that statement, your human instincts and emotions take over. And what you want to do is you want to sell that thing that just dropped on you, and you want to buy more of that thing that was up. And so you're actually doing the opposite of rebalancing. And that not only happens to Main Street investors, that happens in Wall Street every single day. Very difficult to do.
Well, I think it ties back to the last segment, Mark, where you're talking about two rules to dieting, three rules to investing. We know that it's own equities, diversify, and rebalance. And the challenge is, in fact, I had a class this week, and I was talking about do-it-yourselfers. Generally, we have do-it-yourselfers. We have a fair amount in our air because of the academics and so on. There's a lot of educated people here. But they're the hardest group. They're the ones that have the hardest time investing because they can't get outside of themselves. And we know how difficult it is to sell something on its way up. When it's up, we don't want to sell it. That's when we say, no, we got to hang on to it. We're going to get more out of it, you know. But what the industry does is it follows things on the way up. It as it starts to go up, it buys it. And as it starts to go down, it sells it. It doesn't rebalance. But in fact, it chases the market and uses rebalancing as the reason for the activity, where pure rebalancing has to sell high, right?
You have to, because when you set, the trick is once you set those targets in your portfolio, let's say you put 20% in microcap stocks or 15% in large U.S. stocks, the key is not to change your mix based on some forecast about the future. That's the other tendency, is that once you create your mix, someone says, well, gold's going to be high, or Europe's going to be terrible. You got to get out of Europe. And the tendency is to sell those things and change the mix of your portfolio. If you're doing that, you're not rebalancing.
Are you actually telling me that based on the social and political and economic climate that you shouldn't alter your portfolio to be defensive about that?
Exactly.
That's the opposite of what people think.
I know. And when the market's actually down and when there's risk in an area of your portfolio, that's when you should be selling off the one that just went up and buying more of it. I was explaining this the other day on CNBC, and the anchor was like, it can't be that easy. I'm like, it is that easy. It's just very difficult.
Well, it's not easy to stay disciplined. That's the hard part, and that's the
message. The rules are easy, but discipline's almost impossible.
Right. So a do-it-yourselfer needs a coach more than the average person, because because what's happening is they are emotionally, it's kind of the investor dilemma, which we can get into later, but we want to talk about the investor dilemma, because what is it that gets people in a cycle where they're constantly trying to find an answer? It's elusive,
yeah.
And they're chasing, trying to find it, and the industry propagates the whole concept that they can.
Yeah. First of all, most people don't understand what market returns even are. They don't even know what returns are out there for investors.
They can't look at their statement and tell, right?
Well, and they don't have a long-term perspective. The reality is that it takes over 72 years of data to discern an actual pattern with an asset category. Most people only look at the last 5 or 6 years. So let me give you an example. Large U.S. stocks historically have paid almost 10% versus inflation at 3%. That's over 7%, 6.5%, 7% over inflation. But if you talk to most people, they pretend like equities are never going to make money again. In addition, if you look at small cap stocks, micro cap stocks, they have been nearly 11 to 12% rate of return historically. And then high book to market value stocks, stocks that have high book value, meaning a lot of assets relative to their price, historically have 14% in America.
Double-digit returns.
Double-digit returns. And very few investors are getting those type of returns. And very few advisors are getting their clients those types of returns. But that's the return from capitalism. And it comes from volatility. Most people say, well, I don't like volatility. That's not true. People love the upside volatility.
That's right.
But there's no systematic way known on the planet to capture the upside volatility without having some of your money that's going to take the downside volatility when it happens.
But you also lower the volatility by the very act of rebalancing as well.
You can lower volatility by the process of proper diversification, but you can't eliminate it.
Right.
If you eliminate all risk in your portfolio, the return is zero. Eliminating all risk is not the game.
We got about 2 minutes left in this segment. Let me ask this question, because we can do an MRI on a portfolio, and it's unbiased data from Center of Research Security Pricing, et cetera, University of Chicago. Why is it that we hardly ever see small, international or large, in a portfolio when you've just explained that some of the best returns are in that area? Not that you're chasing it, but you should own it all the time. Why don't more people have small? Why don't the managers do that, Mark? I don't get it.
You know, it's people are myopic in their view. It's very difficult for people. I mean, life is tough. You're out there working. You're trying to do your job. You're trying to invest your retirement. And investing is complex. So what happens is you just tend to focus on what's familiar. And if you see a name that's familiar or some company, you know, in Cincinnati, it's P&G.
Right.
You know, in Wismess and in Iowa, Illinois, it's Caterpillar. I mean, everybody has their kind of local team, right?
Right.
And those stocks that have done real well, your favorite.
Blue chips mostly, big blue chips.
And people are familiar with this. They tend to overload on it.
It's amazing how...
And when you watch Mad Money, he's not talking about Singapore or Malaysia or Taiwan or Israel. He's talking about, you know, what 5 to 10 stocks you should buy that you are familiar with.
Right.
Big mistake.
Yeah, when we got 44 countries that we can invest in, right, that have the ability to have stock markets and all the, you know, the ownership rights and so on and so forth. They never talk about that. In fact, international kind of, we rebalanced out of international. It's smoking this year.
Yeah.
Last year we kind of, it went down, but this year it's smoking.
That's a great example. Last year, internationals were down about 15-16%. U.S. was up about 5-6%. And everybody wanted to unload international at the beginning of the year. And we received phone calls. Hey, should I sell international? Should we get out of Europe? And that was from advisors. That wasn't even from investors. And I said, no. As a matter of fact, we're going to buy more. And, of course, it's up 15-16% so far this year.
Yeah, and we've rebalanced it, and it's winning. It's winning this year. But you never know what's going to win, right? You never know what asset class is going to win. That's why you want to own all of them. You know, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to ask Mark about the difference between a sector and an asset class, because in my own observation, I've noticed all the hype seems to come from the sectors, not from the asset classes. You're listening to a special broadcast of It's Your Money from the Corner Room in Happy Valley, your state college. And my special guest is Mark Mattson, who's brought his bus tour through Happy Valley on the way to Pittsburgh. He's promoting Main Street Money, a new book that you're going to see all over the place in the near future, as well as a national public broadcast special. It's all over the country. It's down south, out in California. I had a friend
LA.
Had a friend in L.A. that said he caught it, gave me a call. So it's all over the place. We are barnstorming, I guess, is what Mark's doing. Is that
right.
The right term? Barnstorming here locally. So come on back. We're going to talk a lot more about money, finance, pulling back the curtain on the academic truths of investing.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Paul Nichols, the investor coach.
Great.
We'll be right back.